Now we can look back to the portion of scripture that we read in the book of the Hebrews and chapter 12 and reading at verse 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, cannot it be moved? Let us have grace, or let us be grateful, whereby we may serve God except with reverence and godly fear. With reverence and godly fear. Because as we sung there, we sung, because the glory of their strength doth only stand in thee. That is the glory of their strength. We have nothing of ourselves. We don't want any glory for ourselves. We want God to have the glory for everything that we say and we do. And that should be at all times our focus. The Hebrews here, the Jewish Christians who had believed the gospel, are in a sort of a mid-channel type of a problem. They have a problem. They're grinding. You know the feeling that you get at mid-term or a mid-trip or mid-month or something like that, and you're beginning to get tired and you're getting weary and you wonder if you can carry on. Do you want to carry on and what else? And this is the people here. People are still the same. They're all the same. It doesn't matter what comes or what goes. Human nature is still the same. And that is why the word of God is relevant to us, as relevant to us as it was to them in their own day. And the writer here wants to encourage the people, encourage those who feel that their arms are hanging down, the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. That is the feeling that you can't get away from. That is the type of feeling we all feel at some time or in scale along life's way. And he's good because we live in a world that is in motion. Everything is moving in this world. That is why we cannot be content without stability, something that will stabilize our lives. That is the reason then that the world is the way it is today. Chasing the wind, chasing all sorts of things, and never knowing what this contentment really is. And that is what he says to them here. He says, he gives them a gift that they received, and they have to remember that they received that gift. It's easy to forget. It's easy to fade. It's easy to fall by the wayside and the likes of that. If we take our eye off the one, he tells us here, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our vision varies at times. Our focus is out of place, and we need other glasses to focus on things better. And I realized that here this morning, that it's not the paper that has gone wrong, it's the eyes that are a wee bit maturing, I suppose is the best word for it. But lest you see that offering might be like the offering of Cain, which was a meaningless exercise. A meaningless exercise. Because Paul, writing to the Romans, says something like this. Now, I'm quoting from the Authorized Version, but if you have the ESV, that's fine. It's not that much of a difference anyway. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what he's calling them to do. And be not conformed, he said, to what is that is switching you away from this unto vanity and other things. Be not conformed to this world, he said. The world, nothing the world likes more than that the church be conformed to the world. Well, the purpose of the church is not to be conformed to the world. It is for the world to be conformed to the church, to Christ. That's why Christ came. It's not for compromising. It's not for anything like that. It is to bring us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and do that in such a way that we are not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's quite a challenge. Of course it is, because we are frail creatures, and we fall, and we make a mess of things at times. But here is what he says to them. He brings them and exalts before them a kingdom that cannot be moved. What does that mean, a kingdom that cannot be moved? Well, we all know what it's like to be moved. We all know how easily we can be moved. If we take our eye off the compass out there in the Minch, it'll be soon be off the coast. There's nothing that counters that. It'll be away off the coast. Quite without telling you anything about it, you'll just wander away from it on to some other coast or even onto the rocks, as the case might be. So that we need something permanent in our lives. We need something that will hold us and keep us, because we cannot keep ourselves. Cannot keep ourselves. We are far from that. We are a poor, poor people. So we cannot be content with the praise of people. People live for that. They die in that. They are buried in that. As long as people are praising them. But the Bible is not about people praising people. It is to get the person to praise God. To get over this problem of thinking that we must do this and we must do that. God is in control, in sovereign control over all things. The text here points to the externals. And because of that, it's not to the externals, but the internals. Because the Pharisees were quite happy with the externals. As long as everything looked prim and proper and people were praising them, that was it. That was all that mattered. And we need to watch that in our church, that we don't drift on to that type of thing. And I think that is what leaves us here today, is the fact that we were not going to have that type of thing. If we are disciples of this kingdom, of this king, then we take our cue from the king. We take our cue from what Christ says, not what man says. And that is the big, big problem today, because we are so spineless when it comes to things like that. We blow with the wind, whichever wind doctrine blows, happy enough, and Satan gets you into the cradle, he'll rock you to sleep there quite easily. Not at all. Our first dealing is not by bringing something to God. We come empty-handed to God. God has the prerogative in this. If there is a longing in your heart today to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe it wasn't there 2 months ago. Maybe it wasn't there last week. Maybe it wasn't there a year ago. But for some reason, you're wrestling with this just now, that there is something that is drawing you to the Bible, to the truth, and it won't be of yourself, because the flesh profits nothing. This is deeper than the flesh. This is in of God to you. Because the Jews were so used to coming with something to God as an offering, and whatever category they belonged to, they had an offering that was suitable for that, be it a bull or a cow, or be it a bird or whatever. But they had to have something coming. And they found it so difficult to cease doing this, that Christ had cut the line in this, that he had once and for all given us that sacrifice that satisfied divine justice. That's the all important thing. The divine justice of God. Not that what man says, not what anybody else says, not what our moderator says, not anything like that. It is yours and mine to know in our own hearts what God the Lord has to say to us. He has given them a kingdom which cannot be moved. Isn't that wonderful? That you can know today, in the midst of the uncertainties of life, in the midst of the troubles in the world, in all the difficulties around you, in all the problems that you have, and you know of, you're dealing with, and whatever it is, for all that, there is a kingdom that cannot be moved. Steadfast and sure. The omnipotence of God there, my friend, right at the center of it. And we should be thankful for that. We should be thinking about these things more than the airy-fairy things of this life, so that we know when we are tested by God that we have a kingdom within us that cannot be shaken. Because the invitation of Jesus Christ isn't come here to me and bring your sacrifices. The Old Testament was full of that. He said, will the Lord be happy, with sacrifices? Will he be happy, pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give, he says, my firstborn, he says, for my transgression? That was going on. They were passing their children through the fire for that. And all these sacrificial things that they had carried from other people, rather than listen to what God had to say to them. Shall I give my body, he says, for the sin of my soul? Oh man, he says, you know, he says, what God requires of you, he says, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. And that is what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. I will give you what your heart is crying out for. Maybe you wouldn't want anyone else to know that your heart is burdened. You haven't found this contentment that we talk about. And don't mix this up with being happy all the day or rejoicing and things like that. There's nothing to do with that. It's an inner happiness. It's an inner happiness. It is an inner happiness that can make you rejoice in the saddest of situations. When God gives you his word in the darkest situation that confronts you in this life. It is from the kingdom that cannot be moved. Because this kingdom is anchored out with time and space. It's not anchored in this world. What you received of God there wasn't of this world. Not at all. It came from beyond this world. But if we can make it in this world, and make our own type of broth with it, then that satisfies us. But that's not what God is speaking about here. He's speaking about something far deeper than that. It comes from eternity, entering into a person's life, into his heart, and making him become a new creation. That kingdom which invaded your own heart, your own life, one day or one night, a year ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, maybe. Who knows? But it's the same kingdom that came and it invaded, it took over your life. Took over your life. And with that, it is as John says to us, what manner of love is this? He means, what alien power is this? The same thing. It is an alien, it's alien to our lives. We weren't born with it. It just broke into our lives. Some it broke in with a mighty explosion. Others came gently to the Lord Jesus Christ. But both are as effective. Both are the same. No one is better than the other, because it's by grace that we were saved. We don't live in the day of the days of the shadows. And that is God. That is God. The kingdom of grace is what we live in and move in and work in from day to day. It's a kingdom that moved us, but itself cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. Because it is the one stable thing in our midst. And it's what the people there try all sorts of things. Waste their lives, waste their money, waste their life completely in trying to evade reality. When reality tries to gather them round and bring them to their senses so that they might see what God the Lord has for them. And I haven't come across any person who has been disappointed in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever is their burden, whatever they have in this life, whatever problems they have, they have this stability. And that is why it remains forever. It is a seed, an incorruptible seed that nothing can destroy. Nothing can destroy it, because nothing in life here can do it. Because it's working towards a consummation. It's working towards the end. And that is why God calls us, prepare to meet with your God. Be ready to meet with your God, not with excuses or anything like that. If we hear and we hear the gospel and we listen to the gospel, we want the gospel in our life, we are hungry and thirsty for such a thing, we know that that never came from us. We had no care for it. But God in Christ cares for us. Because he must reign. That's what Paul tells us to the Corinthians. He must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy. It's an enemy. It'll be destroyed. That is the end. This Christian has received this kingdom and the promises of this kingdom. Full of promises. All the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. I appoint unto you, he says, a kingdom. I appointed a kingdom. You, a kingdom, as my Father has appointed me. So you're together there with him in this. It's with you all the way. He'll be with you all the way. in your sadness and sorrow, in your emptiness and your fullness, in all your difficulties, he'll be there. He promised never, ever to leave us, or never, never, ever to forsake us. And you might feel forsaken today, and that's quite natural. Natural for me to feel forsaken. Natural for us all to have feelings like that. But this overcomes, and this is greater than our feelings. It's greater that he that is for us than anything that can be against us. Isn't that wonderful? Greater is he that is for us than anything that can be against us. And there's many things that are against us. And there's room for anything in this land today except tolerance for this, tolerate that, tolerance for the next thing, but no tolerance for the Christian faith or anything related to it. It has to be off the table. It has to go. And these people think that we're the great guys, we're improving society, we've never been better off in this, haven't we? Well, is this bettering ourselves, my friend? Taking God out of our lives? Pushing God to the edge of everything. And we need to remember the poor children that are going to be brought up in that type of society if things go on the way they are. Totally confused. Totally confused. They will know they accept God break in with a mighty revival into our hearts, that they might know that God, my friend, is in total control. Saul thought he could do anything. He could wipe anything off the table that day when he went with the lepers. And God just touched him and he fell to the ground. And he knew who it was. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Well, it says, "I am Christ," he said, "the one that you are persecuting." And that is a form of persecution that is coming into our midst here at this moment. And we need to be strong and we need to be prayerful in all these things, not crumbling and crouching and compromising on everything so that there's nothing left at the end of the day. That isn't in the stand for us. That kingdom he speaks of here is not meat and drink. Not at all. A lot of that goes on. It isn't. This kingdom is one of righteousness and of peace and joy in the Lord. That's the contents of it. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful. The born again children, people of God, are the first fruits of this kingdom. First fruits. But again, we have to move on because we're nearly. I haven't got a watch, but I hope your clock is right. And if not, well, you just suffer. The service expected of him. Well, in my Bible, it says, "Let us have grace." How can we serve this kingdom? The kingdom, well, I have gratitude, or whatever word is used there. It's a kingdom of grace, and grace alone works in this kingdom. There's no place for the flesh, no place for me, myself. That's why an old divine said, "You cannot be wise in yourself and preach a crucified Christ." Can't be, because that's how the world sees it. Foolishness. Nonsense. We are wiser than all that. Not at all. You go and serve him with what God has given you. If he has given you 10 talents, 5 talents, then work at it to double it. If he has given you 2, work at it and double it. If he has given you 1, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Don't say, "Well, I'm not as capable as this person." That doesn't not enter into it. They were all 100% God. 5 were to come, 10, Two were to come forth, one was to become two. All equally important in the sight of the Lord. In a service of grace. How gracious we should be to one another in this life. Because we belong to a kingdom that cannot be overthrown. Other kingdoms, they can be usurped off the throne, but this one, it cannot be usurped, because he is where he is today, at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, waiting to come and to judge the world. But it's very patient, and no task with God on your side is too small or too great. You can do it. If God has said to you, you go and do this, you can do it. You can do it. God can do it with you. Don't try to do it on your own, because that's futile. Futile. Foolishness. Being redeemed means that we are not left to Satan to feed us and to direct us along the way. We are meek. We are called to be meek. We are called to be disciples. We are called to be teachable. We are called to be holy people and to know these things, that God doesn't delight in foolishness or frivolousness. Our God is far greater than that, because he has garrisoned your soul, my friend, with this angelic fire of angels around. And that's what the Bible tells us in the Psalms there also. Even then they hear, angel of the Lord, and round encompasses those who fear. Fear. They might be despised by the world. They might shake their head at them, say, oh, you don't know this, you don't know what I know. But he knows what I know. Sin will do three things. It will add to your misery. Of course it will. Your troubles subtract from your strength and multiply your problems. These easy little things. Service of grace. Let us have grace, he says, to go on. We need, like Aaron, the oil of grace to flow down on the garment, right down, Lord, to his shoes, right down to the ground. Not just a little bit on our head, not just a little bit here or there. He wanted it to flow down upon his garment, that they could tell that he had been in the presence of a mighty God. Can people tell us that we are God's? Can they say, well, that's a person God has worked in his life and her life? Or no, or the other person says, oh no, I just do the same things I was doing before. Well, that's not on, my dear friend, for a Christian. It's not on. There is a line between. If we have passed from darkness to light, that we have been translated from the power of darkness into the light, and we cannot live in the darkness, because it has no whatever communication with the light. Nothing. And that is how it is until this day. But also one word regarding the reverence that is due. How are we going to worship this man, whereby we serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear? Reverence and godly fear. Angels veil their faces in these things. But man bursts in without thinking about it. Yet the angels fear, and the angels know what God is like. And they know his wrath. He knows, as he finishes this chapter off, he says, our God is a consuming fire. And if you felt the God, it's not all about love, my friend. There is two sides to God. There is a God of justice, and that is because of his love for us that he corrects us and keeps us coming, pushing us back again and again and again onto this narrow way. Because we don't want to go with the multitude on the broad way. Because he has power after death to cast the soul to heaven or to hell. He has that power. No one can question that. No one can question that. This is the God of Sinai. This is the great I Am. And who stood in the chasm between you and him? Jesus Christ. He is the one to which we must look at all times. He demands this fear. It's a holy, reverential fear. It's not a fear that works torment, because perfect love casts out that. It is a reverential, to revere God, friend, and to remember always that we are in his presence. Our God is a covenant God. He has made that covenant with us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just leave you with this. Can your kingdom be moved? Are you in this kingdom? Are you on the edge of this kingdom? Would you like to be in this kingdom? There are many things, questions that we could ask. But I can't give you this kingdom. And no one that stands here can give you that kingdom or stands anywhere. Because it is God who places the longing into your soul that leads you into his riches and gives you an understanding of these things. And you wonder then, it seems so easy then, doesn't it? You think that you can go up to somebody and say, you should be a Christian. You can't do these things. It's just that God has filled your heart with love and you want them to know this, but they can't because of the sin that stands in their way there until Christ, who was crucified and rose again for our justification, does just that. And that is what unites us here together today, whoever we are. Grace holds out an unmovable kingdom to you today, one that cannot be shaken. Remember, my dear friend, what we read there in this chapter, see in verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. See that you don't refuse him. And you will never regret it. You will never, in an eternity of eternities, regret it. But this is your God forever.